The following program is proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.com.au.
You are tuned in to the lives of Muslim women on 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio.
One issue I had was like fitting in with other people. You know, like, how am I going to fit in? People are going to think I'm different. But now, to me, it doesn't matter anymore. I can just be myself.
I realised that I had to play on a different level. It wasn't enough to just be better than my opponent. I had to be so much better than my opponent.
I think, like most young people, you go through these phases where every time you take on a new hobby, you think that's what you want to do.
I'm funny with big life decisions. Like, I just, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And, you know, whatever happens afterwards happens, I'll deal with it.
I find life at the moment is very fast, very worrying, very technological, which is causing all that worry and all that stress in, I think, every household.
Some of the people that spoke to me were really shocked to see, you know, the way I was speaking. They were confused. They thought I would be different. They didn't think that I would speak in a way that I'm familiar with things that they're familiar with. They immediately assumed that I wasn't an Australian citizen, and there were all these assumptions.
Welcome to the Lives of Muslim Women. This is a series that will feature stories of Muslim women who, in their ordinary worlds, have made an extraordinary contribution. Life, as we know, is full of challenges and opportunities. And when you gather 10 women for a series like this, you can expect plenty of ups and downs along the way. Prepare yourself to go on 10 unique journeys that will get you thinking and that I hope will leave you feeling inspired. Happy listening.
Hello, my name is Saad. At the moment, I work as an interpreter, obviously Arabic interpreter. I migrated to Australia a long time ago in the 70s. When I came to Australia, I was obviously one of the younger children in my family. The decision to come to Australia was made by my brothers who were older than us, and my mother, of course. And all I know is that, yay, we're coming to Australia, because we had already two brothers here, and then one more brother and two sisters followed, and then the rest of the family followed. So to me, as a young girl, it was exciting to come and have the family reunion. I was very happy to come here and be with the family, but at the same time, I was very sad for leaving my life behind with all my close friends from school and my neighbourhood. But, you know, that's life, and we had no choice in the matter. But alhamdulillah, I am happy that the family made that choice for us. We were a big family, and my father had passed away when we were quite young. And my eldest brothers were in charge of the family. And they became the breadwinners. And we were such a huge family that they had to find a way out to be able to support all the family. And I think at that time, many families were looking at migrating in order to work and help their family back home. And then eventually it was easier for everybody to be together, and I think that's the reason why it started off, and then, you know, we all ended up leaving the country. I was 14, and the first few years were very lonely. As far as my, like, obviously I was a teenager, so I felt lonely in that I didn't have any friends. I had family, but no friends as such. And our life was very limited to just being at home or, for example, going on a picnic and nothing else. So although I enjoyed being with the family, it was lovely, don't get me wrong. But I think as far as social life, I had no social life. I'm speaking on my own feelings and experience, of course. But yeah, within myself, I felt sometimes sad and lonely, but we kept going, it's life. The schooling part was, I think, quite stressful for me because none of us could speak a word of English. So back home, I had just finished my school certificate, which is year 10. And when I came here, because of the language difficulty, they decided to put me back in year 9. And that didn't go down well with me. I felt quite upset about it, but I had no choice. And obviously, the only subjects that I enjoyed at school then was math and French, and that was it. I remember I would be sitting in there, and it's like I'm in space. I couldn't understand anyone. I didn't know what was going on. That made me feel quite depressed, actually. And when I finished T10, and by the way, I only passed French and math, nothing else. Then I went on to do year 11 and 12. It was a nightmare. I always remember my first couple of months in year 11. And I don't want to actually remember. I used to actually leave the classroom pretending I'm going to the bathroom. And I would hide somewhere at the school because I was so embarrassed. I couldn't understand anything that went on in the classroom. And those days, there were no special classes, no intensive English classes, no interpreting, nothing. No services for new migrants. You had to fend for yourself. And for me, I don't think anybody knew that I used to leave the classroom and hide until it was time to go home. I didn't know what to do in the classroom. The more I stayed in there, the worse I felt. Imagine sitting in a classroom now, in a classroom of Chinese people or some other language. You're wasting your time because you don't understand. That's how I felt. I went to a school, very small government school. It was called Homebush West Girls High School. It only had classes from year 7 to year 10. It was a very small school. And I think that was me and my two sisters were the only three girls in the whole of the school that could not speak English. Only the three of us. And there were, like I said, no English classes, no special English, nothing. So I would come home. I remember I would come home if we had something to do. I had a dictionary. And if I wanted to read anything, any notes or anything, I would interpret, I would look up the dictionary for every single word on the page. It would take me hours to understand one page. So it was very, very difficult. I left school. I could not spend 2 years in this misery. So I left school, I stayed home, and then, well, I needed spending money. My family could not afford giving all of us pocket money at that time. I went to looking for work, actually. The employment office was, so I walked in looking for work and there were nobody, there were no unemployment. No one was in the employment office. It was quite small. So they took me in straight away and they interviewed me. I don't remember half of the interview because of the language. And he gave me this piece of paper And he said to me, go to a variety of stores opposite the railway station, Bankstown railway station. And I remember walking in there to the office and giving them the paper. And they called the manager and he took me upstairs to do the interview. All done instantly. And I remember I understood half of the conversation. And then he gave me a math test to do. I mean, until now, I love math. So, and very simple compared to Lebanon's math, very simple. So I answered most of the questions. And when there was a problem that was written down in words, I didn't understand it. And he could, the manager could see. He was quite helpful. And he would explain it to me. Anyhow, that day he took me on immediately. I started work. It was like that. I went looking for work. I got a job immediately. But obviously, that did not stimulate me intellectually. I was bored. It was only like customer service. So I went to TAFE, evening, night time, to do more study. And I did a secretarial course. And that, from that, I was able to move up to office work. And then I got bored with it because it was boring for me. So I think after that, I was married and I went back to college. After that, I did what you call them tertiary preparation course. From that, I got into university and I did BA in linguistics. And I thought, what am I going to do with my BA unless I do teaching or something else? So somehow I got an advice to do interpreting, and I did, and I went to uni again. I did a graduate diploma, and alhamdulillah, I became a professional interpreter. It kind of took me back to when I first came and I had no help. And I put myself in those people's shoes and I became aware how important interpreting is for people who are new in Australia who can't speak the language. And I think that was my motivation, wanting to help people, wanting to make sure that these people understanding what they have to do and what they want to say. And that was my motivation, wanting to help others who are in the position I used to be in without any help. My line of work doesn't just focus on court. It covers all fields, whether it's educational, social, medical, legal, technical, anything. Interpreters are required everywhere. But unless you become a full-time interpreter in one agency or one organization, then you only work in that field. For example, I have lots of my colleagues work full-time interpreters in the hospital system. In the health system, which means they do work around the health, whether it's in the hospital or whether it's home visits or what have you. But I didn't want to have a full-time job, so I kind of have a few agencies I do work for. And they could call me, like I said, they could call me for police work, schools, community conferences, hospitals, even doctors, all kind of work. Because obviously, new migrants need to be in all of these settings. So, yeah, and I enjoy it a lot because I can say, thank God, alhamdulillah, I've learned so much about life, about most aspects of life, from being able to interpret in different settings and not just focus on one area. Like when I used to work in an office, it became boring for me. It became repetitive. Same people, same place, same work, and it's not me. I love challenges. So yeah, that's why I'm enjoying my work. It was a blessing to become a mother, and it was enjoyable to have two children, and I loved every minute of it. I'll tell you why, in my opinion, why grandparents enjoy grandchildren a little bit more. Because first, for me anyway, I don't have to worry about their shower or their sleeping or anything. Or even sometimes their cooking. So all I have to worry about is enjoying them, play with them, talk to them, having cuddles. If you like, the time that their parents are too stressed about, you know, like I was stressed about certain aspects of their life, I'm happy to have them then, you know, take that kind of stress off. And at the end of the day, I'm delighted to hand them back. Bye-bye, my darlings. When they say that, عزم الولد ولد الولد, I think because it comes with experience, age, maturity from the grandparents. I've always told my daughter, you have much better parenting skills than I ever did. She does. And again, I think because she had her children older than when I had mine. And don't forget, her upbringing was different than my upbringing. So I've brought up my children from the experience of my upbringing, from all I know from my upbringing. She is bringing up her children from the upbringing she had and from the life experiences that she had, which wasn't like mine. So I think we had two different experiences in our life, and you can see it from the way she takes care of her children and from the way I took care of my children. There's a lot of similarities, obviously, because I was her mother and she's taken a lot of that on board. However, I find these days, and I see it with other young mums in my family, they have different life experiences being brought up here. And they use that on their children. And I like it because I think it's better. I wish I knew that in my days. And I think it's helping them to be, for my daughter, I speak for my daughter, it's helping her to be a better mother in some areas than I was in some areas. Focus on your family, on what makes you happy, follow your dream, and education. If you haven't had a chance to acquire education and you would love to do it, education is very fulfilling. I call it food for thoughts. It stimulates your thoughts, your brain. It gets you somewhere in life if you want to. And good luck with it all.
You were just tuned in to the lives of Muslim women on 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio.